Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. You can catch us on the AM at 1250, 105.7 on the FM, and the radio.com app. I, of course, an alum of the great Goodrich High School in Fond du Lac. Although I was first graduating class at Fondy High. Travis Diener never got that honor or experience. But he's had a lot of experiences that I've never had, including playing in this basketball tournament with a shot at $1 million for the Marquette alumni tonight. Travis, good to talk to you again. How is the bubble? I guess I'll ask you right away.
Hey, Bart. Doing well. Initially when I was asked to play, I was really hesitant because of the sacrifices that had to be made and coming into this bubble and leaving the wife and kids for 2 weeks. But it's been a little better than I had thought. We've hung out a lot as a team, which I guess there's not anything else you can do. So we've been playing a lot of cards, video games, just having a good time, kind of building our camaraderie and chemistry. So it's going all right, but it's time to get out of here and come home.
is it super strict, like you're in the hotel and that's it? Can you go outside? Like how tight is the
bar? Yeah, no, it's tight. It's there's security guards at every exit. If you leave, your team's disqualified. You can go out in the front, front little area, which is outside, probably by like a 40 by 40 little area, and sit out there if you want. You're not allowed to walk around the city or anything like that. The only time we get to leave is obviously for the games when we walk to the arena, which is about two blocks, and then you walk back. So, it's definitely unique, something that I don't think anyone's ever experienced, but we've made the most of it.
I would say you guys in the championship game tomorrow night, Tuesday night, for the second straight year, $1 million on the line. Travis Diener with the Marquette alumni team, and they've been faring very well in this tournament, better and better as the years go on, and now they'll have the chance to win $1 million Tuesday night, that game, 6 o'clock our time, ESPN. I wonder, I'll get into that stuff, and now I'm all fixated on this bubble because, there's different leagues trying this, and I think the TBT has been a good maybe guinea pig for it, and it seems to be working. I know a few teams were kicked out early, and then you had one team that couldn't play in the tournament, but now with the two straight rounds of negative testing, it looks like it works. I mean, if there's nowhere for you guys to go, there's really nowhere to contract the virus. And now with you guys being in the finals, it's like much more pressure because you can't get it now and then miss out on $1 million.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've done a great job, and we're probably in the safest place in America right now for contracting the virus. They did a good job pre people coming here. They were testing before teams got here, so if teams were testing positive before they even arrived, they weren't allowed in, and that's why you saw a few teams disqualified. So, to do the testing before, and then once we got here, I think it was, you know, only a handful of people were positive, so they were eliminated. And then right now there's nobody that's positive. So they've done a great job, and you know, we felt that they put our health and safety first, and then you know, this tournament second. And hopefully, you know, these other sports leagues, I think, are struggling a little bit. First off, I think their bubbles are a little more laxed, and I don't know if they're doing a lot of the, you know, pre-testing that went on. So we're thankful for that. And we were very fortunate to be in the championship again. Now we just got to finish the job.
You know, I watch like some of the MLS is trying the bubble, and I watch, you know, a kid comes in the other night. He's 16 years old off the bench. You know, he doesn't. It's a tournament to him, whatever. But you, with a wife and kids, how hard was it to make that decision, and what ultimately was the deciding factor for you to leave for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, for anyone that has, you know, has kids and a wife, you know, it's hard. And, you know, first off, you want to stay healthy and safe, and, you know, you can control that, you know, more at home than maybe you thought I could control it here. And maybe I was wrong, because they've done a great job here, and I've never felt like I was even in any danger of catching it. But second of all, you know, you're gone for 2 weeks, and you know, when your kids are young and you know, they don't understand what I'm doing, or they just understand that I'm going to be gone for a long time. So that was hard. And, but you know, the overriding factor was, you know, I just love, you know, I love basketball. You know, it's been part of my life, you know, since I was a little kid. And, you know, I felt like last year we had a chance to win. We didn't get the job done. I felt like we were putting our best team together this year. We added a couple guys, and I thought we had a good chance of winning it. And I just felt like, you know, if I didn't play, I'd kind of be, you know, letting these guys down. So, you know, here we are.
If you were in the NBA at this point with, you know, wife, kids, would you, because it'd be longer, would you be more reluctant to have gone?
It would be hard. I mean, that's a long time. I think they have more stuff to do inside their bubble. But I would probably play. You know, I just think I would be letting down my teammates. And maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, because maybe I'd be letting down my wife and kids, so to speak. But, you know, it's a job, and you got to go to work. And, you know, so that's how I felt. That's how I would have felt, I think, if I was playing in the NBA. Obviously, I'm not in the NBA, and this is a totally different decision. But it was only, you know, 2 weeks, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a long time. And I thought, you know, I could suck it up and come here and try to help these guys win a championship.
Is it true that you guys have to pack before every game, and then if you lose, you're like, you just go home right away? Obviously, with the finals, it won't matter. You're going home regardless. But have you had to pack after for every game?
Yeah, yeah. You pack up all your stuff. You put it in the lobby, and you lose, you're gone. So it's definitely been a different experience. You know, fun, entertaining, exciting, all those adjectives. You know, you get into something that nobody's ever been a part of, and you know, it's just definitely unique.
Do you think you guys have a better team this year than you did a year ago? A lot of the TBT top seeds have been getting bounced, and we saw it again this weekend with Overseas Elite and Boeheim's Army a couple of rounds ago, but you guys have been able to stay pretty consistent. Where do you rank this team with how you guys were a year ago?
Yeah, this is our best team. I don't think it's – I think this team is – I don't even think it's that close. You know, with cores we had last year, it's pretty much the same team. And then you add Luke Fisher, who gives us – you add Darius Johnson-Oldham, who's, you know, one of the best players in the tournament. And then factor in all the, you know, the chemistry we have from playing, you know, year by year. That just builds with more experience, more game time. And then, you know, we're hanging out a lot. So you throw that all together, I think this is our best team. It's our best chance. And you know, we got to take advantage of it, and we got to get the job done. You know, we keep getting to these you know, it's the third straight year in the Final Four, and you really don't have anything to show for it. You know, it's nice to win games and play well, but in this type of tournament, you know, you have to win the championship to come away with the grand prize. And you know, obviously, it's not all about the money, but, you know, that's what you're kind of playing for here.
Yeah, well, I think in this tournament, more so it is about the money than in other tournaments. This
right.
You got the grand prize, the $1 million, which you guys will split up, and you'll get it. I've found this out by watching these broadcasts. Within minutes, you will get it via Zelle payment. So nothing to worry about there. I've heard that many, many times. I watched these games, and so you didn't play until the last game you got in. They talk about you a ton. I don't know if you've seen any of the rebroadcast. They, like, can't get over the shot you made a couple of years ago. They're always talking about how you love to crush beers afterwards. Were you banged up a little bit, or what was happening? Because I have been doing DraftKings, and I put you in the first night you didn't play.
Oh, I mean, you should have just asked me. I would have helped you out. No, you know, I got here, we got here last, 12 days ago, and then we practiced a couple days after that, and I, you know, during practice, I, you know, strained my calf and didn't know if I'd actually play at all in the tournament. And then I gave it a go last night. It felt okay. Not great, but, you know, at this point, you know, you just try to be out there for your teammates. And I told, you know, my guys that, you know, if I can feel I can help at all, I'll try. And if I'm out there and I feel like I'm hurting you guys, then, you know, I'm going to take myself out. But it felt all right. You know, the older you get, it just takes a lot longer to recover. But, you know, it doesn't feel too bad today. So it's looking pretty good that, you know, I'll be able to give it a go tomorrow as well. So, you know, that's all that really matters.
Well, because you didn't play those first two games, you're pretty affordable right now. So do you plan on playing a little more in the final?
You're trying to get some info? Yeah, I wouldn't take me. just don't take me in DraftKings unless I'm like for like 1 cent.
Then yeah, you're like something. The lowest guy to take right now.
There we go. Oh, okay. Then maybe there's some value there.
Like you and Rousey are like $3,000, and then.
Well, don't take Rousey.
Fisher's like 4, and then DJO is like 7. I got Wilson's like 9.
Boy, take DJO. Take Wilson. Take all my teammates.
All right. I'll still do one with you because I don't know. I think it's fun. As far as the tournament goes, the final again Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. I think what I like about it so much is that, and you guys having the alumni team, it's all these different generations of guys, and for you, it's guys that you played with, guys that came after you, but then guys that, you know, you could help be on the sidelines with when you were there. That, to me, is what makes this tournament very cool.
Yeah, and I've said that in interviews. That for me, that's been the most enjoyable part. You know, our coach is a guy that I played with in college, and then obviously I played professionally with DJO in Italy. I've watched a lot of these guys throughout their professional careers from afar. I coached, you know, Luke, Derek, and Rousey while I was in staff. So to have a chance to compete with all these guys and, you know, build our relationship and just put on the Marquette uniform, it means a lot. And that's why I keep playing. It's, you know, 15 years after graduating college, and you never think you're going to be able to represent the school. And you know, obviously in a smaller way, but you know, you still represent Marquette, and I think it means a lot to all of us.
Now, does it matter what happens on Tuesday night? Is this going to be your last TBT, or if you win, you'll bow out on top like John Elway, or what?
I don't know. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but it would be a heck of an experience, you know, from what's happened in the past to losing in the Final Four to losing in the championship, and now we're here again. You know, to try to win the championship and hopefully get the job done, you know, it'd be a heck of a way to kind of get out of it. But, you know, it's hard to say no to playing basketball and competing with these guys and represent Marquette. And, you know, it's something I, you know, struggle with and from a professional standpoint too, is, you know, do I want to go back and play another year? So it's kind of what happens every summer with me.
Because I'm thinking, if you keep playing in this tournament, let's say you're like still 45 and playing, you will be so dirt cheap on FanDuel and DraftKings that it would be such a bargain to take you. I want to see you keep playing.
At that point, they probably wouldn't even put me on there.
You get money back if you're dumb enough to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Dumb enough to take you. So what do you do like the rest of the day today? Because you don't play till tomorrow, so what do you do the rest of the day?
There's some media here in like 45 minutes, then we have practice, and then we'll have a team meeting and watch film, and pretty standard what you'd think happens before a game. We take this really serious, so it's not like we're having a good time. It's not like it's college and we're not allowed to have a couple beers or stuff like that, but we're for $1 million, you're going to try to do everything you can to win. So, we'll prepare. We watched a bunch of games last night after our game of Sideline Cancer. So, try to get as well prepared as we can. So, come tomorrow night, we can finish the job.
I mean, I got to ask. So then the question is, what do you do with the money if you win? Another wiffle ball court at the press box or what?
No, I don't think that's a... That's a good way to spend the money. I don't know. I'll think of that once that money hopefully hits the account. There's so much you can do, within the communities, with, people that are, a little less fortunate, stuff like that. And obviously having kids and stuff like that. So there's just so many avenues you can go with, and hopefully we're all fortunate enough to have those decisions to be made come, tomorrow night.
Good luck. The TBT final, Golden Eagles versus Sideline Cancer, ESPN, 6 o'clock Tuesday night. Trav, thanks for a couple minutes, and we will talk to you soon, bud. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bart. We'll talk to you.
Travis Diener joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. And again, I don't know if it's because it's Travis and I know him or what, but even when he went to Marquette, we would get together because we're both from Fond du Lac, and then he goes to Marquette. And then when you would go to Fondy basketball games when he was at Marquette, everyone's wearing Marquette stuff. And it's like they're not even at a Fondy game. You're at like a Marquette game. Because everybody got into it, and they should. It was really cool, and that Final Four run was great. And I rooted for them. But I'm a Wisconsin guy. I'm still a Wisconsin guy. And so since then, I'll get into Marquette, and I've rooted for them, and especially more with the job and watching them more now. But I still, when they play Wisconsin, it resets, and I hate Marquette again. I hate them on that day. Wisconsin and Marquette played one day at the Bradley Center, RIP, and I went to Buck Bradley's beforehand. I didn't go to the game, but I went to Buck's beforehand, and it was just Marquette people everywhere. And I was wearing a Wisconsin shirt, and it was not a friendly atmosphere. And these are people I know, but I was Wisconsin that day. And it's the closest, it's the best in-state collegiate rivalry we have, besides, of course, the lacrosse Eau Claire WIAC rivalry, come on. Besides that one. But this TBT team, I think I like them as much as I like the Packers. I just love this team. I love this TBT team so much. I really think it's cool. You've got guys from the last 20 years of Marquette basketball playing together and getting so far and getting further and further every year, and the chance to win $1 million and spread that amongst those guys. And a lot of guys, Trav's had a good career. A lot of these guys that are playing, they haven't played in the NBA. They haven't been that lucky. They're scratching and clawing overseas. There's a guy who made a big shot yesterday for Sideline Cancer. And there's just guys that are just trying to do whatever they can to keep playing basketball. And I think that this tournament, with the Elam ending and all that, it's gotten more popular over the years. And to have that local tie is awesome, too. So, again, the final tomorrow night, 6 p.m. on ESPN. It is a bubble that will be burst because the tournament will be over as the NBA bubble just gets started. And as the Bucks are set to resume play in a couple of weeks, we recap how they got here. 53-12 going into the bubble. We take you back to just past midpoint of the season with today's Bucks recap.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
It's time for another Bucks recap. We are recapping the season up to the Bucks 53-12 record, and they are at Disney. They are in the bubble. They are practicing. They will have scrimmages next week and games in a couple of weeks. So how did they get to 53-12? We take you to February 2nd. The Bucks come into this one 41-7. Oh, they have to play the Suns. Let's take you back 2 years. The Bucks lost to the lowly Suns twice. Not this night. 129-108. Giannis with a big night. 19 boards, 30 points, dunking on the entire Phoenix team.
Giannis! Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Why do Shakira's hips come to mind?
Brooke Lopez, a massive night as well, especially defensively. 17 points on the offensive end, 8 blocks.
Diallo running the floor, getting the rebound. Here's a Kobo. Mikal Bridges denied.
He's just got a great feel for, protecting the rim, protecting the paint. And there's so many pick and rolls in the league, and Brooke is amazing. You know, they played two bigs, two more traditional bigs, and so I think there were more opportunities tonight. Some of those other guys were driving it, trying to finish on him. So it's a great, great, great effort by him.
It's just a team effort. You know, that they, I think Phoenix got some easy ones at the beginning of the game. We came out a little loose, but we definitely tightened up, and it's just, our goal is to be the number one defensive team again.
Two nights later, the Bucks head to New Orleans to take on the Pelicans, and it's the first ever Giannis versus Zion matchup.
Ooh. Zion taking on the Greek Freak. And Giannis meets him out the rim. That'll stay in the possession of New Orleans. Well, the Ooze and Oz were starting to drum up for that one.
Zion with 20 points, most of it from the stripe in this one. Giannis with 34 and 17 boards, outperforming the two. The Bucks get the victory, 120-108. 43-7, which is astounding. Sidney Moncrief on our postgame show.
Yeah, and that's hard to find. Teams that play defense inside and outside at the level that the Bucks have been playing, and to only have lost 7 of the first 50, I can't even comprehend. It's just hard for me to comprehend a team playing that well.
So the Bucks continuing to practice inside the bubble in Orlando. More on the Bucks tomorrow on the program. They will start scrimmages against other teams coming up in 10 days. So July 23rd against the Spurs, they're going to scrimmage in the afternoon. July 25th is a Saturday morning. They're going to take on the Kings. And then the 27th, they're going to take on the Pelicans at night. I have not seen, maybe you have, I have not seen if those games are going to be broadcast in any way, shape, or form. At the minimum, streamed online in some capacity. The Brewers have been streaming their scrimmages, and they're going to stream a little bit today again in the afternoon, and then they're going to start this 7-game intra-squad World Series. And Craig Counsell speaking moments ago, we'll have some details on that coming up, just about how beneficial this is going to be for people. But they are going to stream it, and it's going to start tomorrow at 6:40 p.m., and the stream will include commentary from the broadcasters. So you will start to see that. Sam Schmitz, you said you were watching some of the Dodgers one last night?
Yeah, it was on. I was just scrolling around on YouTube yesterday, and it was live streaming on there. I'm surprised more MLB teams don't do that. But, Kershaw was pitching, Mookie Betts was playing, Cody Bellinger, everybody. So it was weird, too. Their TV broadcasters were announcing the game as well. And you could tell they were definitely not in game shape. Players like, yeah, you got me? Okay, yeah. So-and-so went 5 3rd inning or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
So yeah, cool. A little rusty. Oh, that's all right. We'll see that from the Brewers. I'm going to try to get out there and bring you guys some pictures, too, of what it's going to be like there. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird to see these teams play without fans. It's going to be weird to see that atmosphere. The guys have talked about that. As we get closer to opening day, we'll hear from a bunch of those guys sort of back-to-back on how that did go down. But you will see over the next few nights an intra-squad scrimmage. So what the Brewers are going to do is play 7 games against each other as if it was a World Series. And, you know, you look at it and we're like, all right, this is awesome. Kelce downplays it a little bit, but it's something, and we haven't had anything in a long, long time.
It's just a little fun, and just the way to get through this. I think playing against each other is a challenging way to do it. And so we're just – we can't even have really a draft because we don't have enough players. We have to make sure players get put on the right team and fill all the positions. But, yeah, we'll do something a little fun, and it's going to start Tuesday night, and it's just – it's, you know, we have 8 days left here basically. And so on 7 of those days, we'll play a little 5-7 inning game again. You know, we're going to go to a night schedule starting Tuesday for about 4 days and, put them in different uniforms and maybe have a little draft if we can figure out how to organize it, so we get the right players on the right teams.
So they're calling it the Blue Gold Series. And I thought, okay, that, you know, the colors of the Brewers are blue and gold, kind of. Council actually says, well, Notre Dame is a blue-gold scrimmage, and I went to Notre Dame, and that's why I'm calling it blue-gold. So, yeah, all right, but it's still a scrimmage, and it's still going to be cool, and you're still going to be able to watch it on the Brewers' website as they're going to be streaming it. The most, I think, beneficial part of the summer camp is that these guys not only get to face their teammates, but then you get that instant feedback. So think of a normal spring training. You're doing live drills and whatever, but then the teams that you're playing are the Cubs, the Giants, the Astros, all these other teams. You're playing all them, and then if you were pitching to a guy and he hit a home run off you, you have to go and then look at the video and say, well, why? I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder why he hit that pitch. I thought I gave him a good off-speed pitch. I thought it was going to deceive him. Why did he know to hit it there? Was there something I did? I don't know. I'll have to keep testing it and looking at video and going through this process. With what's happening now, that process is going away because teams are able to, they're able to talk to each other. So if Brandon Woodruff throws to Christian Yelich and then Yelich hits a home run off him, Woodruff can then go talk to Yelich and say, How did you know to hit that pitch, right? And then vice versa, when they did match up, Yelich actually got out twice against Woodruff, and then they could talk about that. Brandon Woodruff talking about that and just how important these intra-squad games are going to be.
We were joking earlier that morning. We were both in the weight room at the same time, and it's like, well, you know, Yelich's like, well, we get the battle today, you know? I was like, yeah. Let's see what we got. He stepped in, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's see. I'll see what, you know, where my stuff's at real quick. So I think on the first one, I think I got a little help from the umpire on that strike 3 call. So, but then the second at bat, I was trying to – I got a couple fastballs by him, and then he started fighting me off, and I was trying to bury a slider on him. And it's like you get to see what you see from the dugout, and that he does not even budge at breaking stuff. And it's like, man, he's such a good hitter. And I think, you know, coming after the game and was just talking to him about, you know, what he saw and what, you know, what he saw from everything. And now we're talking about one of the best hitters on the planet Earth right now. So he's just not your average Joe. So he sees pitches like that, breaking pitches, you know, out of the hand pretty well. So, you know, that let me know that was something I could definitely work on. So, it was good to face Yelly. I hadn't faced him, I think, since 2017 when he was with the Marlins and I was first called up. So, obviously really good hitter, probably the best hitter in the game. And it was good to get some feedback from him.
One of the most interesting parts of this for sure, is that, you know, just how did you know, I think the conversation that happens is, the pitcher comes in from the dugout and there can be a conversation about a sequence that just happened. And the pitcher can ask the hitter, why didn't you swing at that? Or the hitter can say to the pitcher, that pitch, I will not never hit that pitch if you throw it there and if it's executed. And so it's a great conversation, I think, for guys to get real feedback on their stuff. And it's been very honest from, you know, you laying off a slider like, I saw that the whole way. I'm not going to swing at that. And I think it gives pitchers great feedback and hitters as well to understand, you know, something about their stuff. We don't always have answers to because the other team won't tell us.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe I'm, you know, thinking too optimistically about it, but it's, if you're Brandon Woodruff, I just think that you might in a normal setting, and this may spur them to do this more, whether it's more intra-squad games once they get to spring training, less playing against other teams. But I feel like when these guys watch tape and they watch video, they're trying to constantly figure out what the other person is thinking. But in this, you get real-time feedback on what you can – hey, you hit a home run off me, I can go ask you about it.
Right. Going back to that Dodgers scrimmage, so Mookie Betts had hit a double in the left field off of Ross Stripling. And as they were, you know, changing sides and all that, Mookie's, like, talking to Stripling, like, right next to him, like, showing his glove and all that, probably talking about either his arm slot and, like, how he saw that pitch or whether or not he was, like, tipping his pitch or something. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, everybody's going to have access to it. So this isn't like, oh, man, this is a Brewers competitive edge. I just think that it's, you know, when these guys are going to come in rusty and, you know, trying to get back up to game shape and get up to speed and catch up, as Lorenzo Cain has said. He's just trying to catch his body up to where he thinks he should be. They're just going to be better at baseball. They're going to be better baseball players. And so you would hope that that translates to some better matchups on the field. Not that it's lacking in, you know, high-quality hitters against high-quality pitchers. But, hey, if these guys are the best in the world and they're going to get even better, and Woodruff doesn't have to waste all this time trying to figure out what's wrong when he can just ask Yelich what happened, or Stripling with Mookie Betts, you can just ask him what happened. These guys are getting better, and so there are positives in this. There are benefits to the way that they're doing this. At the end of this series, I'm sure they'll be very tired of only seeing Brewers, but, you know, there are benefits to this, and it looks like the Brewers have really been aware of that, and they're using it like some of these other teams are to their advantage. Craig Counsell speaking a little bit more already this morning. We'll hear what he had to say. We'll talk some college football as well, as schedules are getting different, and they're getting different quickly, and by different I mean smaller. And some of these big matchups that we were going to see, these non-conference matchups, off the schedule left and right. We'll talk a little more about that coming up in a moment as well. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz on The Fan. ...105.7 FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. Horvat back later in the week. Bill Michaels show coming up today, 10 to 2. Although it will not be Bill Michaels, it will be Tim Allen and Radio Joe. Tim was in for me on Friday for most of the show, and then Bill was in for me from 9 to 10. Everybody's scrambling to take their vacation because sports are coming up, which means that your five-month vacation, Tim Allen, here on The Fan now, your five-month vacation's almost over, bud.
Thank goodness. I mean, come on. Wow. How are we doing?
How are we looking? You got to get that down by 10:06.
That's true. It is how we looking today, Wisconsin.
Hey, someone said that on Friday's show you wanted to debate me about something. Is that true?
I don't.
What do you want to debate me about? Did you drop off? Tool man?
What are we going to debate?
What did you want to debate?
No, I didn't bring it up. You did.
Okay. Whatever. Oh, we're off rousing start.
Hey, I told him nobody wanted to debate on Friday. He didn't believe me.
Yeah, I know. Can we just all get along?
I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm setting up. I didn't hear it. I don't know. I'm just responding to a tweet, and I'm asking you what you brought my name up for.
Well, I was called the anti-Bart on Friday, I think.
Well, we're very different, yeah.
Definitely.
We get along.
Very much so.
We're the two former program directors that have worked at other radio stations and run them. mine into the ground, but
that's one of the issues here that's going on. I mean, I think some people have problems with if they disagree with an opinion, it means automatically they don't like that person. And that's just not fair. You know, it's just you if you have an opinion, that's all it is. It's your opinion. You're entitled to that. It's awesome. It's American. It's just the way we are. We give our opinions, and I love it. I do. But we shouldn't hold a grudge just simply because we disagree. There's been conversations with talk show hosts that have literally gone into physical fights over disagreements, which is really pathetic. It's really bad. So,
hey, although don't judge people that have done that.
Well,
don't judge people. I once kicked a door down and said, "Freems, today is the day. Meet me in the parking lot."
Oh, I've been right in the middle of a few of those. That was wildly entertaining. It really was.
Sometimes, no, I just asked you a question. It sounds like you're trying to justify that you don't like me.
Well, there's certain aspects that I tend not to agree with you on. Yeah, a bunch. But that doesn't mean I don't like you.
Hmm. Not how I envisioned this going, but it's good to talk to you again.
No, it is. And you know what? It's official today, here on Monday, July 13th. What's official today? Well, you can officially say now that, quote, next week, the Brewers are back. I cannot wait. I was listening to you play some sound there from Brandon Woodruff, Craig Counsell, and we're going to get going next week. There's a get ready for the season type of show going on, a season preview next Thursday, and the Brewers will fire things up, obviously, next Friday in Chicago. But you know, now we can talk the X's and O's, we can talk Brewers baseball, we can talk your favorite old Brewer cards, we can't talk about right now, though, Bart, is, the prices at Miller Park for the Italian sausage or anything like that. That we can't do, because there's no fans yet.
Well, I'm going to skirt around that, and I think I'm going to opening day. How much of a brat am I? I feel really bad. I mean, I just feel bad because I've had some great experiences in my life, right? With the Brewers. Nobody liked me more than when I was on the field in St. Louis. That was my peak
lucky.
Year.
Yeah.
Nobody disliked me that day. That was my peak. And then it went up, and then I peaked, and then it's gone down, and then people hate me again. But I got to do that, and now I'm gonna cover opening day weekend for the station, but I'm going to be like one of nine people there, and I kind of feel guilty.
No, don't, because you're going to paint that picture to our listeners. I mean, that's the cool part of that, just to be there and just to soak that all in. And I'm certain that you'll be on social media with a lot of that stuff, and you know, it is kind of a cool thing. I mean, it really is. You being in that celebration with champagne flying around a Brewers clubhouse, man, That's something to behold as a fan. And I know you're a fan. Sometimes it doesn't sound like you're a fan, but I know you're a fan.
Oh, I'm absolutely a fan. Okay. I'm so much of a fan. You want to know how big of a fan I am? I'm so much of a fan that little old Bart, okay, who all offseason was so upset about the Brewers not spending money and, you know, whatever. This was the way that, you know, whatever. And, oh, do you really like the Brewers? You know how much I like the Brewers? I spent $50 on a cardboard cutout that will be seated next to Euchre in the cutout crew.
That's cool.
I'm a part of it.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, do you get those back?
I don't think
so. See, that was my question. I was going to get one, and I thought, well, I'll do it if I can get it back.
And I'm not entirely sure that it's actually going to happen because, well, first I sent in a photo of me. The whole reason I did this was to get some free pub for the fan. So I sent in a photo of me wearing a 105.7 FM The Fan shirt.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because I thought, hey, you know, they're going to show that on TV and I can promote the station, promote the show. I was told that got rejected. And then I resent a picture of me wearing all Brewers gear, but I was told that it was accepted. Although when I've seen the shots that they've put out, I haven't seen mine yet. I've seen Hank the dog. I've seen Hank Aaron. I've seen Bud Selig. They have a cutout of
Hank.
Yeah, Hardware Hank.
They have everybody from MLB Network, too, yeah. For some reason.
Hank Stram. They've got Hank Hill.
Hank Stoddard.
They've got Hank the Tank. And they've got everybody. All the Hanks.
Yep.
Except for, you know, me. So I haven't seen me yet. And they've charged me, but it's still pending. So I'm like, I'm still waiting on it. But I think I'll be there. So that's how much of a fan I am.
Yeah, it's for a good cause. Portions of that going to the Brewers Community Foundation. Portions of it going to a $215 million contract for Yelich. It's all worth it.
Yeah, people have said, Bart, if you want the Brewers to be good, put your money where your mouth is. I do. I consistently do. I buy 5 Long Islands every game I go to. I pay for the more expensive parking because I don't want to walk that far. Okay, I put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, see, I think people are going to miss that a lot. I think when you watch the Brewers and Cubs next weekend, I think you'll be into it and everything will be cool. But then they'll get to Miller Park at times. You'll see the backdrop and you'll see a lot of things that remind you of what you don't have. And we have to keep our feet on the ground with that, too. But you know, it's in the cause of safety, and we all understand that. But you know, the people are going to miss that, Bart.
When you say
you're standing there, the tailgating part of it. And I'm curious as to why we couldn't tailgate with separation. That part of it is, to me, would have been fairly easy. I mean, you arrive with your family, you park in a stall, let's say 20 feet away from the other cookout. And you can tailgate there and then listen to Uke on the ball game.
Well, one thing that I'm going to bring up MLS for the 30th time today.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
But I've related it to the other sports. I have done a magnificent job of doing that.
You've covered soccer well, Bart.
2-0 right now. Toronto is leading DC United in a live game happening live this morning on the 4-letter network, too. I saw the New England Revolution. They opened up Gillette Stadium, and they let people come park there like it was a drive-in theater. So that could be something that the Brewers do if they put like a massive screen or something, and you can go in the parking lot and watch, even if it's not right in front of Miller Park, if it's one of the side lots.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's totally a good idea.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to miss. And not only just the Brewers and what, you know, Josh Hader did with 2 outs in the 7th, but I think it's also just getting together on a Friday night. People, I think Brewers fans over the years have morphed into, and I won't say it's an age thing, Bart, but we've morphed into in the area, for sure in the area, to just on a whim, just say, yeah, you want to, let's go down and catch a couple innings of the ball game here. Have a few beers. That part of it is going to be missed dearly, especially with no state fair, obviously no Summerfest, no outdoor church festivals, you know all these standard benchmark outdoor gatherings. They just were all canceled, and this is going to be a reminder. So I think we look at the positive that baseball is back, yet the party around Brewers baseball, and we're going to have to wait on that.
I want to bring up something that Josh Lindblom said over the weekend. I'll play that here because he's played in Korea, and he played in Korea for a few years, then came back to the States. And this is on the subject of crowds. And I have talked about this before, and we're going to talk more about the crowds and what you want to see on your TV screen tomorrow. But Josh Lindblom comparing a little bit the crowds in MLB and the crowds in Korea.
So the first time when I came back from Korea, in 2017 with the Pirates, the first thing I noticed was how quiet the games were. And that was with fans in the stands. So coming from Korea where it's like a rock concert, it is different.
I wish that we were more like Korea in that aspect. I always say that here we're too reactionary when we're in the crowd. I wish we were, you know, that's why I love the playoff games so much, because the crowds are into it the entire time. I wish somehow we could do that here. I think baseball is more, you know, sit back, keep score, have a couple beers, hang out. But I do wish it was more like fired up. And that's one thing that in a 60-game season we would probably get, but we have a 60-game season that we can't go to is the problem.
Are you kidding? I mean, I've found it curious. Now, I don't know if it's the echo at Miller Park. I mean, we can't even get an MVP chant collectively together. Now,
you can't even get people to wear free T-shirts.
For Bucks games, we can. I noticed that for sure. It was MVP. It was right in cadence. Everybody was right all over it. when it was Miller Park, it was MVP. What's interesting is I was at one of the World Baseball Classic games in Arizona at Chase Field.
I did not know that.
Team Mexico against USA some years ago.
Who'd you root for?
Mexico and Mexican baseball fans, they go crazy too. They got all sorts of wild stuff going on.
And I'm going to bring up soccer again, Tim, because all these other people are used to going to a game and cheering the entire time. And here we go to a game and just, like, sit there.
Welcome to Bart's Monday cavalcade of soccer this morning.
I even had a soccer guest on today.
I know you did.
But I related it to the sports that you guys care about.
I heard you drop in Bucks and Brewers. It was very nice.
I'm doing this very, very craftily. I know what I'm doing.
Do you do a soccer podcast at all? You should.
No. You know what? I was doing a podcast, but then when there were no sports and I needed to fill 4 hours a day every day, I thought, there's no way I can find 30 more minutes to do a podcast of. Also, I like that soccer, I don't have to talk about it. I like that there's something I can watch and just enjoy it.
We are going to have a conversation about the DH, and I've changed my mind on that. I have, Bart. So stick around for that on the Michaels program. We're going to discuss that DH. I know you've talked about it. I mean, again, guys, it's the strategy part of all this. 60-game sprint. I disagree with Pat Murphy, by the way. I had him on a week or two ago. He said, I don't like that word sprint. It's not really a sprint. Well, no, it is a sprint. It is. But we can start talking about things like that. And I've got some interesting feedback around the league from some NL managers about the DH and how I think now. And originally, I didn't think this. I think now the DH rule actually hurts the Milwaukee Brewers this year. They're at a little bit of a disadvantage because of it.
Well, I would ask you why, but instead I'm going to just listen to the Bill Michaels show and find out why.
Lots of news and notes, too.
Please start the show with news and notes.
These news and notes. Dude, I don't think I've ever banked an inventory this large of news and notes. I will not be able to get to all of them today on the Michaels show, but I will get to some today, some tomorrow, and then I'm back in on Friday.
What do you think the Redskins should be called?
The Wolves, I think, is interesting. I would like to see it somewhat DC-related, and I heard you talking about that. It's almost like movie-like. It's made
up. I don't want to see like the Washington monuments,
but it's uncomfortable.
The Washington HR 4-5 bills.
I like the monuments. I like the presidents. I like that DC connection. We'll get used to it. Bart, you weren't around for this, but in 1976 or so, when the Seattle Seahawks came into play in the NFL, And it was the Buccaneers, and we're like, what is this? Sometimes it's a knee jerk. Anything different, we're just like, But then we get used to it. Now it's the Seattle Seahawks. It just rolls off the tongue. It's okay. We'll get whatever they name it. It's okay. The Ravens. Who'd have thought there'd be a Ravens? Come on. Who'd have thought in baseball there'd be a Diamondback? I mean,
who'd have thought in football there'd be a team named after a meatpacking company?
Absolutely. I mean, all of it, we get used to it in contemporary.
There's a team called
day.
The Cleveland Browns, named after a guy whose last name was Brown.
Yeah.
What a dumb name.
Point is, though, we'll get whatever they decide, we'll get used to it. That's for sure.
I think Brown might be the worst name in sports. That's another topic I'll do tomorrow. All right, Tim, prep for the next 5 minutes, and then we'll check back in with
you. Yeah, a cup of coffee, a quick cigarette, and I'm back.
Tim Allen, he'll be on the Bill Michaels show today, 10 to 2. Do not miss it. A good conversation after he backed down from the challenge that I presented him. He said he wanted to debate me, and then he wilted like a flower. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz here on the Fan Craig Council talking moments ago. So what they are going to do is this blue and gold series, and it's going to start tomorrow. 6:40 p.m. The games will, with broadcasters, be streamed at Brewers.com. They're going to play seven games, and they're just to try to bring some competitiveness to the ballpark. Because they've been playing these five-game, you know, these five-inning scrimmages, and it's a good, like, Yelich versus Woodruff. That's competitive, but there's no stakes on the line. So they're at least trying to make it seem more like a game. And they probably, I don't know, I haven't looked at everybody's spring training, like, exhibition schedule. The Brewers have one exhibition game against the White Sox. The White Sox and the Cubs are going to play each other a few times. I think the Yankees and the Mets are. So the Brewers, they only have one of those games. So they're making these games themselves. And today is the day of the draft, or whatever they can come up with. Council, you heard him say earlier, can't really do a draft because we have to make sure the teams are balanced. Council today.
Yeah, we're going to have a little draft a little later today.
Are the players participating in that, or
yes,
is this a-
of course. Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, the players are picking the teams.
Okay.
They're captains, or who's, which players specifically are
captains? Yeah, Garcia and Narvaez are the captains.
All right, so there is the breaking news. It's pronounced Omar Narvaez. My friends were telling me Narvaez, but it is Narvaez. I told my friends, I think it's Narvaez. That's what I thought, and then I was just making sure, guys. One thing that Council talked about today, and he's talked about this last week, I found this interesting. They asked him, well, what do you want to do for the regular season? And he said, I'm not thinking about the regular season, but you're 3 weeks out. How can I think of the regular season right now? I've got all this testing going on. I've got to figure out how to keep these guys safe. Lorenzo Cain over the weekend says he disagrees. All he's thinking about is the regular season, and then Council followed up today. But here's Lorenzo Cain over the weekend.
That's basically what he wants to do. I mean, he want to keep us all safe, you know, keep the players safe, you know, himself safe, his family safe. And but my main focus is getting ready for the season. You know, I know what I need to do to get ready, the things I need to do. So just trying to, like I said, just trying to play catch up with that, taking as many swings as possible. Been swinging a ton here in the last few weeks, facing live pitching a lot earlier after not seeing any live pitching for a few months. You know, it's been tough, but at the same time, you know, it's what we got to do to kind of get us ready for the season. So hopefully, you know, we just get enough work in to be prepared and hopefully hit the ground running once the season starts.
So Council was asked again today, okay, with that being said, are you thinking of the regular season yet? It is, as Tim Allen said, it's next week. Brewers play next week.
You know, I'll tell you, my perspective is still really on this camp. It's not on the season. It's on this camp and getting it right for the players, keeping them safe. We still are spending most of our time, or I'm spending most of my time thinking about those things still. We're getting there, I would say, for the season, but we're not there yet.
In other news, go! It is now Toronto 2, DC United 1. 84th minute. Game live on ESPN2. There was something that we'll hear more from Craig Council in a minute. There was something that I wanted to do today. Something I wanted. Oh, right. I wanted to remind you about my friends at Windows Select. WindowsSelect.com, 262-703-3500. 262-703-3500. WindowsSelect.com. Incredible deals and offers that they have on what are already incredible products and services that they can provide. Replacement windows, replacement siding, replacement doors, all available at Windows Select, of the highest quality and energy efficient. They've got it for you. And right now, this deal, buy one, get one on the windows. So buy one, get one free on Windows. Buy one, get one free on Windows. Plus, no payments till 2021. No payments till 2021, and buy one, get one on Windows. It is happening right now at Windows Select. The products you're going to get, again, high quality, energy efficient. They're backed by something I didn't even know places did this, a double lifetime warranty. You could live your whole life, new medicine comes out, you can live another lifetime, your windows are still covered. It's a double lifetime warranty. See your home in a new light this summer with Window Select. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, WindowSelect.com. Check them out again, 262-703-3500. Sam Schmidt's doing a bang-up job. I look over. I now see Evan Heffelfinger sitting there. So I'm going to talk to him. Big E, how are you today? How was your weekend?
It was good. I didn't work.
At the depot, you did not work?
I did not.
You didn't work here?
No.
So what'd you do?
Saturday, I did nothing.
Did you go to a party?
No. But one of my friends turned 21 last week, and they invited me, and I was thinking about going, and then I didn't go.
You're young enough to have a friend that's turning 21?
It's my friend's girlfriend.
What?
I'm 23.
What?
They've been together for like 8 years, though. They were together when we were in high school.
Dude, you know what Sam told me today? I didn't know Plucker's married.
You didn't know that?
No.
When we were interns, I was in here for a baseball post-game show like a year and a half ago, and he brought in his wife.
He brought her in?
And I was like, oh, you're younger than me.
What, do you like show her around the building?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've done that before.
My wife's never been here. Ever.
It wasn't my smartest decision. Sam was actually there when I did that.
What, you had a girlfriend?
I did at one point, yes.
And then you brought her here and she canned you?
Well, it was unrelated, but I'm sure that there was some part of it that was part of it.
People forget.
People do forget Evan once had a girlfriend.
I do too.
Yikes. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll hear more from Craig Council. We'll hear more from the Bucks. The basketball tournament final.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.